Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. That song is so very, very true. How many times has He done it for me? Made a way where there would be no way. Only God can do that. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles? Thank you, musicians and singers. Singers, I should say. Well, the musicians, too. They played on the CD. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him, and magnified him exceedingly. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to take note of what we just read. Here is Solomon, the son of David, and God has already blessed him in every way, materially, spiritually. He's probably, at this time of the reading of this scripture, he was the most powerful man in the known world. And having all that, what more could you ask for? Let's read on. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, and to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. Now I want to stop right there, and as I read through these verses today, I'm going to do it somewhat different because I feel there's some things I need to point out to you as we read along. Israel also at this time is the richest nation on the face of the earth. God has blessed economically the entirety of the nation, and so much so that it is the most powerful economic system in the known world. But yet here is Israel, still worshiping, basically, in the tent that Moses made in the desert, having all that wealth. So let's go on. Verse 4. But the ark of God David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Beziel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put between the tabernacle of the Lord and Solomon and the congregation and sought into it. And Solomon went up thither in the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Now, I want you to think of that for a minute. 1,000 of the choicest animals that Solomon had. That was a big offering even for him in this day and age. But he offered up 1,000 unto the Lord. Let's go on. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now, church, that's powerful. When you think of the God of this universe who spoke the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heavens into being, appears to a man in a dream whom he has already blessed with all kind of blessing. And he says, now, I'll bless you further. Ask me what you want. Let's go on. Verse 8. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, thy people, that it is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And God always does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Hallelujah. He goes on and says, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there be any after thee have the like. And that was true. There was never a richer king in the days of Israel than King Solomon. God fulfilled his promise in totality. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning. I don't know quite what to call what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning, but for lack of a better title, we'll call it Solomon's Dream. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, what I feel needs to be done, I know, as always, only your Holy Spirit can do it. I pray you'll open the spiritual eyes of our entire church to what an open door of opportunity for the gospel to be furthered has been set before us and that we have participated in. And Lord, I would ask you this. Remove all doubt this morning for fear of what you've called us to do and for obeying your word. For Lord, whenever there is a heart in anybody to put your kingdom first and to put your desires first and to put what you want done first, there is coming untold blessing to that individual or that group of people that obey you. Glory to the Son of God today. And Lord, I just pray today, Holy Spirit of God, I thank you. Church, get ready. Blessing is going to fall on each and every one of you like you've never known before. Your businesses are going to be blessed. Your homes are going to be blessed. And you're saying, Pastor, what did we do to deserve that? Nothing. But this church, and I'm going to share with you about it in just a moment, has made God's agenda its top priority and has put God's agenda in front of getting a building, in front of getting anything material. And look out, God's getting ready to bless in an unprecedented way. Hallelujah. And I don't back down from standing, and I ain't ashamed to say it. When anybody puts God's agenda first, blessing, blessing, blessing is going to flow. Hallelujah. Lord God, in the name of Jesus today, touch this message, Lord, but touch our hearts. And Lord, give us faith to believe your word. Give us faith to see your word and the great things that are coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I preached way ahead of myself this morning, prayed way ahead of myself this morning. I'm a little bit excited today. And by the end of this service, you ought to be awful excited too. It was about a month and a half ago. I shared with you on a Sunday morning some things that I felt the Lord had shown me the prior week. And I couldn't share all of it with you that time, for the Lord told me not to. But he spoke to my heart as I was on a lunch break at home. I was teleworking. And Brother Swaggart was on his show sharing about the door of opportunity that was opened, was about to be opened for them to reach over 60 million lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit just moved on me in one of the most powerful ways that he ever has. There have been about five or six times in my life that I can really identify, and if you've walked with the Lord any length of time at all, you'll know what I'm talking about. When he spoke to you, and you didn't have to ask, is this God? And maybe he gave you instruction, and you knew it was so clear that you knew exactly what you were to do. One of those times for me was when I was initially called into the ministry. Although I was called when I was 7 years old, many of you know I run from it for a long time. Until the time I was 26 years old when I accepted what God had called me to do. And Well, after I was saved and came back to the Lord at 26, he reminded me of that call and asked me if I would do it. And I remember that point in time, the Lord speaking to me very powerfully. And I told him, yeah, Lord. Another time was when he called me, Ravon and I, to leave our jobs at Boeing Aircraft. Lucrative, great jobs. He said, I want you to go into the pastorate. And I had no doubt it was powerful. The Lord spoke to me. Another time when the Lord spoke to me very powerfully was near the turn of the century when everybody was going crazy over Y2K. And I've shared it with you. I sought the Lord because I do what I do because I love God's people. And I want to see them led to the truth of this word because I know what he'll do in their lives if the truth of this gospel is preached and taught. I know what will happen in lives. I know what he's done for me. You know what he's done for all you all. And that time I preached a message. It was contrary. I shared with you everything everybody was hearing about Y2K in 1999. And it proved out the Lord had spoken to me again. Well, this month and a half ago was another one of those times. As Brother Swaggart sat there sharing how many homes they were about to be able to go into. And it's like one man said, the gospel, you may not like this, but it's the truth. The gospel will only go as far as the dollar bill takes it. It takes money to further this gospel. It takes money. And as Brother Swaggart was there sharing about how this opportunity to open before him, the Holy Spirit fell on me. And he spoke very clearly to me. No doubt in my mind, even to this hour, that what I heard from him was true and correct. He said, I want you to go to the council at the time I tell you to. And I want you to give $10,000 out of church funds for my effort to touch this world with the truth of the gospel. For I've raised up this ministry to do it on a worldwide basis. And he didn't stop there. And I tremble as I say this. You all know me. I don't throw stuff around like this lightly. He went on, he told me this. And I still don't understand, I believe, the amount of blessing or the magnitude of it. But he said, you obey me on this, and you watch what I'll do. He said, you obey me on this, and you watch what I'll do. And this past week, as they began their telethon, which was on the 16th and or 15th and 16th, Thursday and Friday, it was on Tuesday that the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Now, call them. And one by one, I started calling them. And I said, will you pray about this? I'm not overbearing with this church. I've never tried to lord it over as pastor, even though scripturally I would have had that authority to do so by the word of God. But I wanted everybody to be in on this. I wanted everybody to be a part of it. And I called them and asked them, I said, will you pray about this? I said, I won't do it unless we can get 100% support for it. And I'm not going to bore you with a lot of the details of it, but one by one they agreed and said, Pastor, that's what you feel to do. You go ahead and do it. And on late Friday night at about 7 o'clock in the evening, Michelle so graciously went to the bank and her and Andy made the transfers we needed to make. This church, this little old church right here, gave $10,000 to put the gospel around the world. I don't know. You say, please don't misunderstand us. Please, I beg of you, don't let the enemy sway your mind on this and think, well, we gave $10,000 to Jimmy Swaggart. No, we didn't give $10,000 to Jimmy Swaggart. We gave $10,000 to the work of God. Don't miss that. And it was all of us together. When I called it in proudly as Crossway Community Church from Springfield, Ohio. And you say, what's the point, Pastor, to all this? As we read our text this morning, I'm not going to preach long today because we're going to have an altar service here in a minute where I'm going to pray over everybody in this sanctuary. And you better come believe it because God's going to give you what you need. If you want your business blessed, come believing for it. If you want your marriage healed, come believing for it. If you want your lost loved ones coming to Jesus Christ, come believing for it. Because God's going to bless in whatever way you ask Him to bless you. And you say, why would He do that? Why would He do it for Solomon, who already had all that he needed? Everybody in this sanctuary, as I'm looking out, ain't nobody going hungry this morning. No, we may not be on lifestyles of the rich and famous. But everybody's got on a nice set of clothes. Everybody's well fed. Everybody has a nice place to lay their head and a car to drive. We're richer than 99% of the rest of the world this morning. And God has blessed us and He has raised this church up to be a significant part of furthering this message of the cross that we know to be the truth. Hallelujah. Come believing this morning. Come believing. Because He is saying to this church, and I don't back down one iota from it, and He's saying to you as an individual, ask of Me what you will. Ask of Me what you will. You say, why is that? This is a message from the Holy Ghost this morning. Because we have made God's priority, top priority in this church, over us getting the building, over us growing in any other way. We have said, God, we want to further Your message to people we may never know until one day we're in the portals of glory. And I believe by the tens of thousands, they're going to come up to you and say, because You gave, because You participated in this tremendous worldwide outreach, I'm in heaven today. Thank You for obeying God. Hallelujah. Solomon, at the time he took the throne, as I alluded to earlier, Israel was still in a tent, basically, worshiping God. This is the God of glory. This is the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Solomon would eventually build the temple, a permanent structure where the walls of it would be lined with gold because of the blessing of God that he had given Israel. But Solomon already had everything. But he had a heart to want to make God's agenda the top agenda of the nation of Israel. This church, by its actions, has shown that kind of heart. This is what the Lord told me. Maybe you didn't even realize all this. But it was all of our money. It was nobody's money together. It was all of it pooled together. And let me give you a quick financial report, okay? We've got nearly $60,000, or right at $60,000 in the bank. Okay? And before, when we were in a former denominations, as many of us were, probably you didn't even know this, many of you. Ned, you know. Paul, I believe you do. Dennis, others of you. We sent $3,000 and $4,000 a month off to line the pockets of religious executives. That's all it went for. That's really all the good it did. Maybe some gospel got out front. But by and large, it went to build large homes and put religious executives in $1,000 suits. It did no good at all for the gospel. But what this church did this week will be evidently set before you as this gospel goes around the world. And by the tens of thousands, they're going to come to Jesus Christ and find Him as their Savior and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God is going to bless that. God is going to bless that. Hallelujah. I tremble all over as I say it. God is going to bless that in a mighty way. Get ready, Crossway Church of God. And Solomon's heart was to do that which God wanted. Even though he had everything he could ever want. Church, let's face it. We're all guilty at times of complaining in the midst of this great blessing. We're just like Israel. Manna falling from heaven all around us, and we're like, yeah, we don't like this manna anymore. Is this all we've got? But in the midst of blessing, great blessing. But this church, by its actions, has made God's agenda its top priority. There's nothing I want more. Let me share my heart personally with you. There's nothing I want more than for us to have our own building. I'm praying God for it. I'm seeking God for it. And as I spoke with Brother Lauren Larson on the phone this week, and I told him what I felt the Lord had spoken to my heart, because I run it by everybody. I mean, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and I know I can get myself. I was positive I wasn't. I'm not going to lie to you. Still positive. But I wanted other people to see it, because I know if it's of the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost-filled people, believers, are going to bear witness with what God spoke. And Lauren began to weep on the phone. He said, Greg, there's no doubt in my mind you've heard from God. And he said, I can't wait to hear from you, to hear what God's going to do in your church. I said, Lauren, I know. I said, I believe it's going to stagger all of us. I'm here to tell you, when we sowed that seed to further the gospel, I know your hearts, and I'm your pastor. And spiritually, I answer to God for you, not for your individual actions, but for what's taught and the direction you're being led. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know they're of the same heart I am. If this populates heaven, this gift helps populate heaven, and we have to worship in that little Seventh-day Adventist church to the day you call us off this planet, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah, it's worth it. Go ahead, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as before I made the call, I prayed and I said, Lord, and it's like they said in the telethon, if you watch it, there's nothing wrong with expecting God to bless you when you further his kingdom. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's wrong when somebody stands before a camera and says, oh, you give this $1,000 and God's going to pay off your mortgage and make you a millionaire. That's wrong. But it's not wrong to expect God to bless, as he did here with Solomon, when you put his agenda over everything else that you want in your life. I said, Lord, I don't have any right. But I said, whatever blessing you send for us doing this. And I said, I know it's coming. As I'm praying to you now, I know it's coming. I said, I would ask you this above all else. Would you reach out in Springfield and do for us on a local level what you're doing for Brother Swaggart's ministry worldwide? I said, would you save our lost loved ones? Would you reach out to those cases that maybe of our family members that we think, oh God, they're never going to make it in the kingdom? I said, as we sow this seed into your kingdom, that's what I'm asking you for as a body. I'm not asking you for a bigger building. I'm not asking you for material wealth. I'm asking you to send the souls of our loved ones. I'm asking you, Lord, to reach out by the power of your Spirit and send conviction on them like they've never known, to where they would have to run to the altar of this church and give their lives to you. And he said to me, I will do it. Hallelujah! 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 Stand to your feet and praise him. Stand to your feet and give him glory. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Hallelujah! Because he knows what they're going to hear when they come here. They're going to hear the gospel. They're not going to hear some purpose-driven demonstration or some kind of psychobabble. They're going to hear Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And he shared this with me too. And those of you that own businesses in this church, get ready. He said, I ain't stopping there. And he took me to this passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles, which I'm so poorly preaching this morning, but the Spirit's saying what he wants to say. And that's what's most important. And he said, because you've asked me and made my agenda, I'm going to bless in every way. I'm going to bless businesses in that church financially like they've never been blessed before. I'm going to bless individuals in that church financially like they've never known before. And he said, I will do wonders. This is the word of the Lord. If you'll believe it, he'll do it. If you'll believe it, he'll do it. He said, I will do wonders for them because they have made my agenda their top priority. Hallelujah. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And I've got the Almighty Word of God backing me up on this. You don't have to wonder, did Pastor Greg make this up this morning? Read it. When Solomon gave the offering, when Solomon gave the 1,000 animal offering, that's when God appeared to him. Because by giving of that sacrificial offering, it proved to God that you, Solomon, you want what I want. Your agenda is my agenda. What I want done is what you're wanting to see done. And I'm going to bless you because of that heart and attitude. That's what God is saying to this church and you as an individual this morning. I don't know what God's getting ready to do, but it's something that's going to stagger all of us. Get ready. Get ready. It's no longer coming. It's here, church. I think you feel it this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost affirming it to everybody in this building today. I don't know what God's going to do with us, but it's going to be wonderful. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Musicians, would you come? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise His holy name this morning. God appeared to Solomon then after he gave that offering, proving it wasn't the money. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It was the heart of Solomon that got to God. When God looked on his heart and saw, above all else, you've made my agenda your agenda. And God's agenda is simple. It's not hard to figure out. He wants to save souls. It's not hard. It's not hard. And let me tell you this. When I called that gift in, Lauren said, because I called him before I made the call, he said, Greg, tell him to make it a challenge gift. Because that will double it as other people give if you make it a challenge. Listen to this now. When we gave, they needed to raise $1 million. They needed to raise $1 million in 2 days. Now, you say, oh, that's a lot of money. That's about a one-day's budget for TBN that preaches a false gospel. They needed it to further the real gospel. And for them, even, that was an astronomical amount. But it was this church's $10,000 gift that put them over the million. Think of that. I knew God was in it even more then. It was our gift that put them over the $1 million. And it was called in as a challenge. And in one half hour's time, our 10,000 turned into 20 for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Church, you're a part of something. We're a part of something that's way bigger than what we are. Praise God. And He's chosen you to be a part of it. And because of our willingness to obey Him and to make His agenda our agenda, I shared with you what He's put on my heart. Get ready. And I want you to come to this altar this morning. Believe in Him for whatever you want to see Him do in your life. Now, don't misunderstand this. Nobody's bought the blessing of God. We could have given $50,000. If it was given with the wrong heart and attitude, it wouldn't have mattered. You see what I'm saying? It's not the amount we gave even. It was the spirit and attitude that this church gave it with to further the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's like I heard Brother Donnie say when on his portion of the telethon or share-a-thon. I'm here to tell you, it was anointed. If you tuned it in, you could sense the Spirit of God all over what was going on. Donnie said that for the last 20 years, there has been a void of truth in the Pentecostal world. And he's so right. Now, before you start thinking it was an egotistical statement on his part, think it through. Think of all the junk. I'm talking as far as ministry on a worldwide basis, reaching out to the world with the truth. How many did you know of that really preached the gospel? There's not many at all. But he said now, he was speaking just as far as the media was concerned, not individual churches. But he said, God has told us that for us reaching out to obey Him and preach the truth of His Word, that void's not going to be there any longer. I'm here to tell you, it's just like the contest on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You remember that story where Elijah challenged them to a contest to say, we'll see who the real God is. The one who answers by fire, we'll call him God. And he cut up those animals and poured water on them and laid them on the altar. After the prophets of Baal had cried all day long and cut themselves with lancets and just carried on like a gang of maniacs. That's a perfect picture of most of the Pentecostal world today as far as media and even local churches go. It's a show. It's a humanistic show. But that cross and that sacrifice that Elijah was laying down was a type of Calvary, was a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I love it. If you read that story, Elijah made fun of him. He was sarcastic with him. Sometimes sarcasm's a good thing. He said, why isn't your God answering by fire? He said, perhaps he's on a journey, which if you look at it in the initial Hebrew text, he was telling him maybe he's using the bathroom. Maybe that's why he isn't answering you. Really, study it. You'll see that. It'll bear out. I'm not making it up. Then after they had gone through all of their shenanigans, he laid his sacrifice and he built an altar. And he prayed a simple, roughly 14-word prayer. Oh God of heaven, the only true God there is, and I'm paraphrasing his prayer. If you be God, answer now by fire. And lightning came from heaven and struck that sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal begin to cry out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Truth, even, let me tell you the power of truth. If it's truth, and it's just going out even from a small place, that makes it bigger than all the falsehood that's around it. Why am I telling you that? Because as Brother Donnie said, that void is no more. The false prophets on TBN and Daystar and all of those other chicanery networks that say they're preaching the gospel that aren't, the truth of Christ and Him crucified is going to go forth now on a grander scale than we have ever known. And it's going to show because God's going to answer that one by fire. And the truth being held up will quell all the air. Look, get ready. You're going to see some changes coming, I believe, to the other TV so-called Christian networks. Why? Because the world now is going to have truth held up before them to compare to all that air they've been getting. And God's going to use it to populate the kingdom of heaven. Not only, hear me, church. Not only are we going to be a part of seeing new converts come into the kingdom of God, there's going to be people that were bound in false doctrine that will approach us in the portals of glory and say, thank you that you gave to get me out of that hellish mess that I was in. Hallelujah. Church, this is so big, I can't make it big enough. I don't have the vocabulary to make it big enough. Bottom line. It's the heartbeat, I know, of everybody that attends this church, what I preach today. I know that. There's no doubt in my mind on that. And because of that, God's going to bless you now. Because you took part. You took part and made His priority your priority. You see, the Holy Spirit's telling me now, some of you, Satan's tried to beat you up and made you feel like your gift is insignificant. Maybe you couldn't give as much as somebody else for whatever reason. I love God's economy. I love God's economy. Because one day when a bunch of Pharisees who were very wealthy were standing around when the offering was being taken up, a little widow came by with two mites in her hand and threw that in. And Jesus said, she gave more than all of you. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I love God's economy. Your gift has not been insignificant. It's going to reach souls. It's going not only to reach them. It's one thing to reach them with the right message, but when the Holy Spirit's anointing is on something, and it's truth, He'll reach out and pull them literally into the kingdom and woo them into the kingdom. Praise God. And because that's been the heartbeat of this church, and because you need to thank God right now. You need to stop church and thank God for the Holy Ghost counsel you've got. And I want to say to you, council members, how I appreciate your faith and trust in me as pastor. Because you could have said, Pastor, you're off your rocker. We're trying to get a building right now. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. And you're wanting to give $10,000 of our money away? And not a one of them said anything like that to me. Ultimately, their response to a man was, Pastor, if you feel to do that, you do it. We'll back you on it. You need to thank God for Holy Ghost-filled men like that, that have a heart to want to get this gospel out. Get ready. Ask of me what you will, the Lord's saying, I'll do it. Just like He did Solomon. Ask of me what you will. This is a powerful church. I'll do it. I'll do it. And because this church, as a body, has asked Him for that which is near to His heart, souls. Souls. Give us souls, Lord. Help us, Lord. He's going to give everything else along with that. All the material blessing and all the financial blessing. It's going to come. Get ready. Get ready. Some of you are going to be sitting on jobs. And somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, we want to promote you and give you a significant raise. Get ready. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to bless in all ways. But the most important thing, we're going to see souls coming into the kingdom. And He's going to give us our lost loved ones. I don't back down from saying that. I know it's the word of the Lord to this church. Praise God. And every bit you've given. And we've still got plenty of money in the bank. But in God's economy, who knows? Seventh-day Adventists might pick up the phone one day and say, we're tired of that building. We can't keep it up anymore. We're going to give it to you all. God can do that. God can do that. God can move on people, or maybe a nice church building across town at some denomination's forsaken, or maybe somebody will call us up and give us the money to build one. God will do things like that for His people. You know why? Because this church wants to preach the truth and the gospel. And it's coming. Blessing's coming. Blessing's coming. Blessing's coming. Praise God. I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Jesus.